Hello, and welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead cavalry unit 1d6 wounds at a time. Today, we're discussing the very first edition of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplaying, the RPG set in GW's popular, though also very unfortunately deceased, fantasy setting. It's the age before the Age of Sigmar on today's System Mastery. Everybody, welcome to System Mastery. It's me, your host, the ever-loving blue-eyed Jeff, joined as always by my co-host, regular John. Hi, John.
Hey.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
That's the only time I'm going to ask you. I know I promised before the episode that I wouldn't do that bit again.
Yeah, good.
Okay. But now that I've asked you once, I feel like to get back into the flow of conversation, I just need to ask you again. I won't. You know what I'm going to do instead? We have an announcement mastery, and I'm going to get it out of the way early.
Ooh, an early announcement mastery.
I feel like we're doing people a disservice by saving them through an entire hour of our dumb bullshit. I worry that people turn off the show before they hear these things. And it's really rare that they're ads. Most of them are just people sending each other nice messages. So it's sad that people aren't hearing these things. Anyway, this one's for blueapron.com. Okay, I'm kidding. Here we go.
Someone just has a really nice message for blueapron.com.
Dear blueapron.com, thanks for the fish signed dolphins. Huh. That can't be good.
Weird.
All right, here's the actual message. To my dearest Sharky, I am so glad we met and that you've kept by me all these years. Just thinking about you brings a smile to my face, and I hope that we get many more years together. I love you more than I can say. Happy anniversary. Love, your darling dragon. That's Aww. The whole thing. That's Aww. So nice.
Aww.
That's why I didn't want to sully that by following an hour of us telling random poop jokes and talking about what Sarah Michelle Gellar's doing or whatever. I don't know. I pulled a celebrity out of my butt. Sorry, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Get back in my butt.
I am sorry to have pulled you out of there, which I know you were comfortable.
Yeah, it's safe and warm.
Mm-hmm.
And no one makes you go to Buffy conventions.
Well, no one can make you go to Buffy conventions now.
That's true. That would be a very mean thing to do in this day and age.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we find you guilty of perjury, and by way of punishment, you have to go to a Buffy convention.
Oh, no!
Xander will be there.
Unless he's in jail.
I don't remember if he currently is or not.
I don't know.
Do you think there's hope for him to have a comeback, maybe with Chloe from Smallville, like the two of them could work together on some kind of project?
Oh, I definitely don't think so.
Okay. Okay, well, John, we read Warhammer Fantasy Roleplaying, the first edition of it even.
Yes, indeed.
We found the really
what
old
was
one.
That? The first edition of it even.
Exit stage left.
What is going on here?
I don't know, man. I was reaching around to try and find my PDF reader so I could have some notes up in front of me. Maybe that caused me to briefly sound like Snagglepuss.
I know how you always sound like Snagglepuss whenever you get that reach around.
Yeah, when I find myself in times of trouble, that's when I sound like Snagglepuss.
Let it be, even.
Hey, Jude. All right. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm doing at this point.
We're real shaggy.
Well, I haven't talked to you in a while. We skipped an episode or something. No, wait. We still did the movie one.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is just a shaggy episode. I'm feeling loose.
It's loosey-goosey here on the System Mastery today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when podcasting is at its best, when it's not good. And timely.
No structure to it, just meandering.
That's what people want, just sort of random assemblages of words.
Yeah, people,
something to fill the space.
They really want to tune into their favorite podcast to hear the host just kind of, you know, dick around for a bit.
Faff about without really a point. I mean, it could seem like we're mugging a bit here, and could that be because even though this book is damn near 400 pages long, there's not much in it worth talking about? I don't know.
Maybe.
It sure could feel that way. I know that this is supposed to be... This is a series where the edition changes are usually heralded. The Warhammer Fantasy role-playing system just gets better from edition to edition, according to most folks.
Yeah, I forget which one is most beloved. It was third or fourth edition. People super, super praised. But, man, that is not this edition.
No, I remember I almost bought one of these, but it was like a boxed edition. Like, everything you needed was in a box, and it came with a bunch of cards and junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of realized that at that point in my nerd life, I didn't have enough time to, like, hand out cards to everyone before every game and all that stuff. So I kind of let it slide, but I hear it's a masterpiece of whatever edition that was.
Yeah, no, I have seen some, you know, reviews and a few things about later editions. And mm-hmm. It's interesting to go into reading the first edition with that in mind, because you can kind of see where they're going to go with it. And you just look at it and you're like, man, this was bad, and it's great that they changed it.
It's bad, but there are things about it that I feel, and almost entirely in the story section, that I feel show both positive and negative growth in GW as a company over the ensuing decades. Because this is a 1989 game.
Yeah, and honestly, even for 1989, it's not the worst. There's some interesting things and choices that they made for such an early game.
Here's the thing, though. I found out it was a 1989 game like an hour before this review started, because I kind of was like, oh, shit, I should probably check on that. Up until then, I was almost certain this was a 1982 game. Because it is... Basically, this whole game is a model of an airplane designed to attract Gary Gygax back to their island. It's it's one of those games where the GM section is just full of little arcane side rules, like, yes, of course, your players will obviously want to burrow into the side of a person's house. Here's three pages of rules for how that might work. it's just
well, there's a reason this is almost 400 pages long.
Yes, yeah, it's hyper specific. It's one of those books that tries to cover all the edge cases by having a little write up for how in every single given situation the following things might occur. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the beginning. How you doing? Okay.
you
what's your familiarity?
Promised.
I know, I let you down. Don't answer the question then.
Smash. Look,
I begged you not to. Okay. What's your familiarity with Warhammer Fantasy?
So I played a bit of Warhammer Fantasy back in the day. Had some Skaven. Absolutely love the little rat men. You know, it's if you've played 40K or Fantasy, either one, that's basically you're going to know most of the stats here because they just sort of poured it over.
Yeah, some of them were switched from being a number ranging from 1 to a 10 to a number ranging from 1 to 100, but you can kind of see the wheels behind that.
Yeah.
It's just if they felt like granularity was super important, they added a tens digit, which is amusing because a lot of the time the tens digit only goes up by 10% in most situations.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you're just looking at, like, the initial gain in any one of these is going to be the mm-hmm. only time where it's actually going to be a not, like, goes up by 10 value. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a surprise. I also played the game back when you did for a very brief time. We were both kind of 40K guys. And Fantasy, at least at that time, seemed significantly less interesting and a lot more fiddly and old-fashioned. I imagine at this point the two are a lot more kind of even in terms of development and storyline structure.
Yeah,
when we
the Age of Sigmar thing was like, let's try and make the whole like fantasy section of our game less. I have a tray full of guys, and I push that tray at your tray.
Yeah, that's what it was like back when we were kind of in the wargaming scene. It was fantasy, or 40K was a lot of people who had, you know, relatively diverse armies. Maybe not so much at the facility we played at. We played at a bad scene kind of setting where there were a lot of gray tank piles that were that were whatever flavor was good that week. Hell, the last time I stopped by and checked in on them was a few years back, and I remember a guy being told who he had to play that week, and he was just like, no, tell him he wins. And I was like, wow, this hobby's gotten fun, hasn't it? but fantasy at the time was the province of the true neckbeard. Like, it was a very different scene of dudes who were playing fantasy. A lot of guys who didn't even stand up during the games.
Yeah, it's...
If you know where I'm going.
It's interesting. I like the world, and I'm very sad. That was one of the big things with Age of Sigmar that I was very sad about, was they destroyed the old world, which is what this whole game is going to take place in, and just sort of had a generic, there are bubbles of fantasy realms that knock into each other sort of thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't necessarily hate that all the lizard men in my garage are now some kind of, like, alien angels called Seraphon that still do dinosaur shit. But, you know, I do kind of feel the loss.
Yeah. The the whole deal with trying to translate the sort of tabletop wargaming thing to a RPG, we've seen all over the place. I mean, D&D was that. And
yeah,
it's really interesting to me that they decided, you know, whereas other things will either try to simulate, you know, you're one of the, like, heroes that would have been on the field, or, you know, some will try and simulate having a bunch of dudes all together as, like, oh, you know, you'd have a unit and that's sort of what you're playing as. Whereas this, they went the exact opposite and are like, you know how you normally have a, you know, an army full of badasses? What if you were a piece of shit?
Yeah. Like, my usual comparison point for games based on tabletop war games is the Iron Kingdoms game, where, you know, you basically play as a model from the table. You build your own, and honestly, you could put them on a regular game of War Machine, and they'd make sense, and you'd have the same rough control that you would have in the war game.
Mm-hmm.
In this, that's relatively true. You still have a lot of similar stats to what Warhammer Fantasy characters have, but boy, oh boy, are you ever a schmo in a world of dirt.
Yeah, so real quick, just stat-wise, you've got movement for how far you can go, weapon skill for melee, ballistic skill for ranged, your strength and toughness as sort of a how much you deal and how much you take, wounds, it's your wounds, initiative, number of attacks, and your dexterity. And that's
up until, go ahead.
Oh, that's just basically your sort of combat skills, and then you have some more social-based skills or stats, really.
Right, and right up until dexterity, that's basically the stat chart for a character in, like, the tabletop game. The difference being that things like weapon skill and ballistic skill are percentile now, and I think, is initiative percentile as well? I forget. In any rate,
everything is percentile except for strength, toughness, and wounds.
Right, okay, very good. And attacks, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Also, and then you move over to these social stats that are brand new, which are, what, like leadership and cool.
Intelligence.
Thank you.
It is cool.
It is cool.
It's very cool. Leadership, intelligence.
That's cool.
Cool.
Your brain.
Willpower and fellowship.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that's your ability to carry a ring.
Yes, indeed. So, you have all of those, and you're gonna, since most of your stuff is percentile as far as, like, what the stat is, you can probably guess that this is a percentile-based game. That's a roll under whatever your stat is. And
yeah, in almost every situation, the other character or the target stats don't really matter. You just roll to hit by rolling under your weapon skill or ballistic skill.
Yeah, and when it comes to like, oh, but what if I want to parry or block that? That's also just based on you rolling under a parry or weapon skill of your own. So there's not really a lot of comparing stats until you get to the damage section. Because strength will add to how much damage you do. Toughness subtracts from how much damage you do. So you can pretty much just compare the two and then either add or subtract from that at the end.
Yeah, it's not a super complicated system.
Not really. It's
and
even the weapons in this are very simple. There is baseline. The game is like, oh, there's no difference. If you want to use, you know, a sword or a staff or a dagger or whatever, it all just does your strength in damage plus whatever you had rolled. So it doesn't matter. Just use a weapon. There is optional rules that has a chart for like, all right, if you want to actually give a shit, here's varying damage qualities. And like, if you want to do that, it'll affect your initiative and your damage and how much you can move and stuff like that.
Yeah. And this is very similar to the Warhammer roleplay or tabletop game where hand weapon was just a thing that you could equip your models with. And it didn't matter what the fuck it was. They just had hand weapons. Don't worry about it. It's weird to see that translated over into the role-playing game, but, you know, whatever.
The interesting thing is, if you actually look over at the rules, if you want to use different weapon stats and whatnot, pretty much the best thing you can use is a spear, which is interesting because that was basically what you would upgrade to if you wanted your infantry to be better in the tabletop game. You'd be like, all right, you could have hand weapons, or I could give you spears, and then you're basically hand weapons with reach.
That's true. Sean, what would you say generally was your favorite thing, not about this game, because I'm not trying
and we're done. Thank you, everyone.
No, I'm not trying to end the episode. I'm trying to say what's one of the coolest things about Warhammer the tabletop game, because for me it was variety of choice.
I mean,
where you could play as all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah. That was one of the big things, honestly. I just loved the magic system in there, and we will get into the magic system for this one. But,
yeah. But, like, you could play as dark elves, ogres, spider-riding goblins, vampires, mummies. There were just a million different things you can play as. In this game, however, what can you play as?
Well, you have four choices. You can be a man, an elf, a dwarf, or a halfling.
I don't even really, when I think about Warhammer Fantasy, I don't even think about halflings. I mean, I know they're technically in there. They're one of the, they're one of those races that's like, or species that's like left over from the early 80s of the game. There's only like one model of them. It's metal and it's got a pot on its pot belly and it just looks like shit. And it's supposed to be like, these little fellas, man, a soup bowl.
Yeah. Like the only time you really see halfling in anything at this point is, I think, if you play Blood Bowl, because they have their own team. And other than that, that's about it. Like, Warhammer Fantasy doesn't really give a shit about halfling. And when I say that, I also mean the role-playing game, because there is no reason to be a halfling in this game. It is straight up worse than anything.
I mean, it strictly is a worse elf, is what it is. Because elf has basically the same stats, but better, that a halfling has.
Now all of them have their own randomization for the stats, and they use the same dice pretty much, except for movement, but it'll be like, oh, for weapon skill, you'll roll 2d10 no matter what you are. And then depending on whatever your species is, you'll roll between like a plus 10 and a plus 30. Now
just add a static plus 10 to plus 30.
Yeah. Now the halfling in this has only two stats that it's actually pretty good at, and that's initiative and dexterity.
Yep.
Saying that, the elf has a better initiative and the same dexterity, and then just better in most of the other stats as well. And mm-hmm. it's not like the halfling is getting anything for it, because when it says, like, oh, when you make your character, go ahead and check what your, like, racial abilities are, except all that is what languages do you speak and how good is your night vision?
And what skill are you forced to take as a starting skill?
Yeah, and halflings have worse night vision and uh-huh. speak one fewer language than elves. So
and
you're just shit.
And the skill they're forced to take is cooking.
Yeah, it's... Fuck, elves even have, like, specific weapons to their race that's like, oh, there's an elven bow, and if you use it as an elf, then it's a really good longbow, and if you use it as anyone else, it counts as a short bow. And there's nothing like that for halflings.
No, halflings are just trash in this game, and they feel like an afterthought or a mistake. Like, they put them in because they needed four races, but... It was 1989, and if they had put, like, Lizard Men or Skaven or something in the game, that everyone would have lost their fucking minds.
Oh, yeah, because that was the problem. They were like, all right, well, we can only put, like, the good races in here, because we don't want it to be like, you know, you can play as a Skaven or a Chaos guy or whatever, because you shouldn't be evil. And then right. they were like, oh, wait a minute, we don't really have a lot of those.
Yeah, you'd think they would have just split up the elves into the various types of fantasy elves that there were, or even the humans, because, you know, this is fantasy, so there's, like, four human armies. You've got Empire and, what, like, Kislev and...
Bretonnia.
Dogs of War. You had all these options back in these days for pointless human armies that have long since been faded into gold-plated space marines.
Yeah, it is just sad to see that. You know, you go down the whole, like, oh, random roll your character, and there is just an option that sucks. And
yeah,
dwarf is no great shakes. I'll say that.
Well, at least dwarf has a couple of unique things.
Exactly.
Elves are just better people. That's just what they are. They're just better people. They have better stats, and they have nothing that's the unique province of elves outside of a couple of interesting weapons. Dwarves at least have a couple of careers they can open up that are dwarf only.
Yeah, if there were a couple things you wanted to do, dwarf is actually the only way to get to a few career paths. And mm-hmm. even though they're not amazing at a lot of things stat-wise, they do have a few things that they are just the best at. And, you know, there's a reason to play a dwarf in this game, unlike halfling.
Yeah, absolutely. Halfling has... I might as well get down to brass tacks here and point out that this game has, like, 140 fucking careers that you have to roll randomly to see what your character starts as, and none of them are halfling-only or even mention halflings.
Yes. And in addition to that, there are just an assload of skills in this game, and one of the things it wants you to do when you're making your character is decide how old they are. And it has mm-hmm. a chart for each of the races that is, okay, you'll get either a bonus or a penalty to number of skills depending on your age.
Yeah.
For humans and dwarves, the most you can get if you pick the correct age, basically, is a +2 to your skills. Elves mm-hmm. can get a +3 because they're better than everyone. Halflings yes. can only get a +1. So even in the skill selection, they're still just worse.
Yeah, you keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, for them to be like, oh, and here's the thing that makes halflings cool or, you know, viable, and it never comes.
Yeah, you keep waiting for there to be like, oh, but here's the thing, halflings are incredibly lucky, and so you get free rerolls or whatever, and you'd be like, okay, well, they're not as good, but they can try to do stuff more often. No, there's nothing, like, they're just bad.
I'm trying to remember what their specific thing was, even in the tabletop game, and I'm pretty sure it was that they were accurate. Like, they made good snipers or something.
Yeah,
or just be the 40K equivalent, the Ratkin.
Their whole thing is, and they even have it in here, is a thing that it's easier for them to get, which is the ability to use slings. So they were very
okay.
good at, like, ranged sling attacks, and that was pretty much the only thing they had going for them.
I assume that mattered a lot more back when there was a major relevant difference between slings and bows in the game.
Yeah, because then you could be like, oh, well, sling is I can move and still shoot at you rather than a bow where I have to stand still and shoot.
Right.
But
an interesting thing about this game, it has 133 skills, but the thing is, almost everything that nowadays you wouldn't think of as a skill, like stuff that would just be racial traits or species traits or upbringing traits or feats or powers from a class, all of those are skills.
Yeah, because things like I have plus one strength are just a skill that you could get.
Mm-hmm, it's just called very strong.
Yeah. So in addition to things like, what do you have? Oh, I've got cooking or astronomy or dance. You also have as skills things like, you know, ambidextrous, or you can have lightning reflexes. So you've got sort of an interesting mix of things you would assume are skills and things that just sort of affect the way you interact with the world.
Yes. Now, you do get a couple of randomized starting skills. You get one that's automatic, except for humans. Humans get to randomly roll for everything, which, weirdly, they sell as a benefit. They're like, humans are the most flexible of the old world races, and that's why when it's their turn to roll for skills, they roll randomly for everything on this giant list.
Yeah, whereas as opposed to- elves just start with excellent vision.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, good. They just get to have a straight-up bonus skill. Neat.
Right. And halflings start with cooking. And I don't even remember what dwarves start with. I don't know. Probably mining.
Mining. Yeah. It's
there
mining.
You go. Got it in one. They're pretty straightforward with what dwarves are and do in this game.
Oh, yeah. Now, the interesting thing is, even though there are 63 starter classes that you could get, what mm-hmm. you do is you don't pick one of those. You
no.
pick a overarching theme. So there are warrior, ranger, rogue, and academic. And
yeah.
you can pick one of those. They each have restrictions on them, which of course means you could technically roll a character that cannot be anything.
Yeah, that's true.
But the various ones, whatever you qualify for, if you qualify for all of them, just pick one. But you'll mm-hmm. get an overarching, like, big class, and then you have to randomly determine what you are within that.
Yeah. And I gotta say, given that it starts with 63 careers, I think they tried to use that as a major big deal selling point for this game. With the idea being like, holy shit, look at all the options of this thing. It's incredible. I mean, sure, they're random options, but we put in so fucking many. And then you go through and you look at them, and you're like, oh, this is a boring place.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you're like, oh, wow, fucking 63 classes? That's ridiculous. How would you even do that? And you're like, oh, how you do that is none of them matter.
It's the same way you do it in games like Fatal, where it's just, what are the classes in the game? Oh, you know, Seaman, Embezzler, Road Watcher.
Yeah.
They're boring.
And it's real sad, because you look at some of the big categories, and you're like, okay, cool. If I pick Warrior, then I've got a fairly decent chance of at least getting a, like, basic class that is somewhat combat-based. I mean, you can still get things like, ah, I rolled Laborer. All right,
mm-hmm.
great. but
yeah, yeah, you end up with these ultra-boring...
Something...
Go ahead.
No, just you look at something like... The big thing for me is academic. Because mm-hmm. all the other ones have at least things that are sort of based around, oh, you're kind of roguey, you're kind of a ranger, whatever. The academic
yeah.
is just... You go into it, and it's a crapshoot for like, come on, baby wants to be a wizard's apprentice. And you're like, and I'm a pharmacist. Okay, well.
Yeah, no, academic is a tough road to hoe. And the book makes a big deal of saying that, you know, these aren't what you are. These are what you were. You're a hero now. You've taken up the adventuring lifestyle. You can tell that you're a hero. You're cut above the regular humanity because each of these classes has, like, a list of bonuses they can choose as they gain experience points. And you get one of those bonuses right now for free. That's because you're a big fucking hero. Why, you're 10% more accurate with hand weapons than most people. Look at you, you golden god.
Yeah. But the problem, you keep Christ.
You read your way through it, you're like, okay, so I'm not actually a agitator. I'm a rogue of some kind. That's cool. When do I get to the part that tells me what rogues are? No, fuck you. You're an agitator. It says you're not, but you are. There's nothing after this.
Yeah, it's you start out, and whatever you randomly roll into will give you some skills, depending on whatever you rolled. Mm-hmm. You can get anywhere from, like, you know, 2 to maybe 8.
Yeah.
There's trappings, which is just sort of what stuff you get.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes you get the skills automatically. Sometimes you have a chance of having the skill.
Alchemist's Apprentice has brewing, evaluate, and read and write, and then a 50% chance of chemistry, which is weird if you're an Alchemist's Apprentice that you wouldn't know chemistry.
Well, you say that, but then you read the description of Alchemist's Assist, and it's like, oh, alchemists never teach their apprentices shit. You're going to end up either having to kill him and steal his practice or leave to become a laborer. I hope you like sweeping floors, you dirty peasant, because you're never going to learn alchemy. And you're like, okay, I get it. It's Dark Ages jokes. Here we go. Lay them on me. And it's going to keep happening like that for 63 careers in a row, where they're like, you're a boatman. Your job is to carry people across the river. 80% of the time, you fucking murder them halfway across. And I'm like, that wouldn't work. That would make for a bad economy. People would turn to boatmen who have a lower rate of killing you.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, but, like, I could just not do that. Like, if I went up and I was like, oh, I need to cross this river, but there's an 80% chance the dude taking me across is going to kill me, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe I don't need to cross this river that bad.
You know what? Fucking my fox and corn and goose are fine on this side. Screw it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, just, I'm very angry at these basic classes for many reasons.
You should be. Well, the problem, I keep feeling really bad about that chance of a skill thing. Where you're like, oh, my character's an artisan's apprentice. All right. I'm Johnny Tremaine, silversmith. This is already fucking boring. What are your skills? Well, I get to drive carts. That's a given. I automatically drive carts. I have a 25% chance of very resilient and a 25% chance of very strong. If I don't hit 1 in 4 twice in a row, this class is just trash.
Yeah, oh, at that point, you're just like, oh, I get to drive a cart.
And there's no way to ever roll those 25% chances again other than moving to a different career that has them automatically or gives you a chance again.
Well, yeah, because the problem is, you look at this, and for a game that has 63 starting classes, these are just such a tiny amount of what you're going to give a shit about in this game, mm-hmm. because there are also an ass load of advanced classes, which you are going to go into the second you can.
Right, you have to get like 100 experience in someone who can train you, and then you're going to jump to another class as soon as possible. Now, not every starter class has what's called a career exit, which is your ability to jump to another class from that one. Not every one of them has one of the good advanced classes as a career exit, so you'll have to jump around until you find your way out. And here's another problem. Of the advanced classes, a lot of them are just advanced levels of boring.
Yeah.
Like when you get out, you're like, I'm not an embezzler anymore. Now I'm a charlatan. And, well, okay, that's kind of cool. Is that like a rogue where you lie to people? And nope, I'm just even better at embezzling. I'm a counterfeiter now. That's an advanced class.
Yeah. And it's, again, I'm really angry at the whole academic side of this because if I start this game and I'm like, oh, sweet, I've got a high willpower, a high intelligence, I'm going to be, like, super good at being a wizard, I just got to get my way over to it. If you roll and you get something like, oh, I got, you know, pharmacist. Okay, there's no exit to an advanced class from pharmacist. You're like, okay, well, I guess I can go over to Alchemist's Apprentice? Okay, great. Alchemist's Apprentice doesn't have an exit to anything that is wizard. Okay, I guess I can go to A charlatan? Okay, great. You're a charlatan now. Did you want to be that? I didn't.
It's true. It doesn't really... I mean, I like the idea of career progression, but the problem is everyone's just jumping around between these pitiful medieval bullshit options. And
yeah.
Boy, oh boy. You keep thinking what a couple of these have to be good, right? Because, like, there's cool people running around the Warhammer fantasy universe. And you even see one in there that's called Protagonist. And you're like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
sweet.
One of the
okay.
things you can roll.
Yeah. If you're a protagonist, your job is to go into towns and pick fights with people and then get paid not to beat them up.
Or that's your protagonist.
Or get money for beating them up. I assume that this is some old definition of protagonist. I didn't pause to look it up. I mean, it's got agony right in the name there, so maybe. Okay, so most of these careers are boring. Their little descriptions generally tend to be, you know, oh, a lot of these guys are noble gamekeepers who keep the pheasants safe on the king's land. But a lot of them are also murderous thieves who are poachers. Please note that if they're poachers, they should use the poacher career.
Oh.
And you're just like, I get it already. Everything sucked. Thank you. I don't,
yeah.
I didn't really get this impression when I was fighting the Tomb Kings in my cool game.
Now, the way advancement works, in addition to you go from sort of a class to a different class, mm-hmm. is each one has the stats that you have as a little line bar, and it gives you how much you could possibly get in any one of those. So it might say, like, weapon skill plus 10, and mm-hmm. strength plus 1, or so on. Now that means yeah. you can spend 100 XP when you are that class to gain that bonus. So
yes.
you could go, okay, I'm playing as whatever, I'll spend 100 XP, get weapon skill plus 10. Now that isn't mm-hmm. a... You can get a plus 10 whenever you spend 100 XP. It is, that is your maximum. And that
yeah,
carries over
once.
To anything else.
Oh God, that is the most infuriating part of this game. Every time you get a class, you get a list of what's called your advanced scheme. Your advanced scheme is the things that career can offer you as bonuses. They're static, they cost a bunch of XP, and you can only buy each one of them once. And when you jump careers finally to another one, if it doesn't have a higher listed bonus, you're shit out of luck. If you're like, okay, I was a guard, so I had plus 10 available to my weapon skill. I jump from guard to highwayman. I have plus 10 weapon skill available. Does that mean I can buy it again and have another plus 10 weapon skill? No, fuck you. Find a class that has plus 20.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it is the reason you would really want to get to any given advanced class fairly quickly, because most of them are the only ones that really have bonuses outside of a one-time advance.
Yeah, they tend to have the 20s and 30s you can buy that allow you to really rise up above your station as a noble laborer. In fact, some of the advanced classes themselves have advanced classes. For example, if you want to become like a knight captain, then you have to go through guard and then into the advanced class guard captain and then into the advanced class knight captain after you finish every single one of the advances in guard captain. This is going to make you real sad when you finally get to knight captain and realize that it has the exact same bonuses as guard captain, except for a plus 10 higher, I think it was, or plus 1 higher initiative. See, you're like, I go through this entire advanced class so I can get to this other advanced class, and then I can't buy any advances in it because they're the same.
Now, the only other thing you're going to be buying with your XP outside of improving your stats is skills. So when you go mm-hmm. into a new class, you don't just get their skills. So, like, a captain might have, you know, oh, I can get disarm or dodge blow or heraldry or ride horse or whatever. But you don't mm-hmm. get those when you become a captain. Now you can spend 100 XP, and instead of getting a bonus to your baseline competency, you can get a new skill.
Yep. Now, how do skills work in this game? They do not provide you with new percentages that you can roll under. So say, for example, that you pick up the skill acrobatics. You do not now have an acrobatics value that you can roll under to perform acrobatics. Instead, what it does is it unlocks the ability to say that you're using acrobatics and things, and a couple of plus 10% bonuses to things like entertain or perform or busk or escape artist, that kind of thing. All of which are defined roles that you might make in the course of common play, which makes up a large portion of the early part of the game mastering section.
Yeah, there's a weird thing for this game where they have all of these skills, but then all of the skills aren't the tests that you make. Like you were saying, you don't make an acrobatics check, you just have acrobatics, and now you can use that to help with your jump or leap check, which is its own standardized test that maybe some other skill might help. So, like,
yeah, you'll still, if you're making a jump check, you're still like rolling against your dexterity or under your dexterity. It's just that now because you have acrobatics, you get a plus 10 to that roll.
Yeah. So there's things like, oh, there's an estimate check that you roll for against your intelligence, but you can have evaluate, follow trail, and supernumerate are all skills that might affect the test that is estimate.
Supernumerate was one of the very few things in this game that I actually kind of really enjoyed. It's like your character's really good at math, and if you're presented with a math problem, you don't need to roll on it. You'll eventually solve it. The DM will just tell you when.
Yeah, in addition to the ones that are like, oh, you get a, you know, plus one to strength or whatever, there are also some things like that, or like drive cart is just, oh, there's, you don't ever roll for this. If you have drive cart, congratulations, you can drive a cart. You don't do anything. Like, it just unlocks the capability to do this.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get a sense for the... Here's a lesson you can take away from this particular element of game design. Decide what you want the gameplay loop to be. Figure out what your players are going to be doing from sit down per evening to the next, and then focus on that very heavily so that players have an idea of what they should build towards. For example, this game has an embezzle skill, and it's just like, hey, if you spend all day working at your job, at the end of the day, you can roll under your intelligence, and if you succeed, you can make a D6 gold crowns. And I'm like, who would do that? What would the rest of the party be doing? Why would that be part of the game session?
And the problem is, so much of the, like, base character class stuff is based around things like that. I mean, you have busking is its own thing. And
oh my God, busking.
Beggar is its own class. That's like, oh yeah, if you want to go out and beg, well, here's all the various things that you'll need to know how to do. And if you do this, you can gain X amount of gold coins, but there's always a percentage chance that maybe the guards will come around and shoo you away. And you have to roll that. I'm like, I thought I was an adventurer. Why are you telling me all this?
There are two skills that are, or common roles you can make. One of them is entertain. The other is busk. For which there are, out of the 133 skills of this game, roughly 30 of those skills are just plus 10 to entertain and plus 10 to busk. And that's all they are. They'll be like, juggling, plus 10 to entertain, plus 10 to busk. Acrobatics, hey, how about plus 10 to entertain and plus 10 to busk? Well, what about oratory? Oh, let me guess, buddy, it's plus 10 to entertain and plus 10 to busk. And don't think you can pile these on, because how are you going to juggle while you're doing oratory? You're not, peasant.
It's so weird to have so many skills and have them then have to be either a static thing like drive cart, where it's just, oh, this is permissive, no one can drive a cart unless they have drive cart, or it just affects a different chart full of the actual skills that you'll do,
which everybody has. It's just that you can be slightly better at them.
Yeah, so if you want to roll for observe, okay, you roll in your initiative. All right, that's all it is. But maybe you have a thing that helps with that. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, like excellent vision or something.
Great.
But there's just so many of them that are dedicated to busking and entertaining. And at a certain point, you're just like, why didn't you consolidate these? Why don't you have skills that are just called busk and entertain? And then people could just say what they do. Like, oh, you know, I'm playing a halfling and he juggles. Do I need to randomly luck into the juggling skill, or can I just take entertained and say that it's because he's juggling?
Yeah, it's there's just like the classes in this where you have 63 and none of them matter because you're essentially just going to take whatever you rolled randomly and then get out of it as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The skills are just like, oh yeah, you got these skills and they don't really matter unless there's something specifically you're trying to unlock because it's buried behind like a permissive system. So you're like, oh, well, yeah. I can't, I don't know, move silently unless I get silent moves. So I guess I have to find a class that has that.
Yep. You can also just buy your way out of a career and into a new career that you wanted without having a career exit for it. You need to have all of the advances that skill can or that career can offer you. And then instead of paying 100 to jump to a career exit, you pay 200 to jump to whatever.
And it still has to be within that career's overarching block. So if I'm in the academics, I can pay 200 to go to another academics class.
Yeah, that's the way you get to Wizard's Apprentice. I'm not going to play Russian roulette or just random happenstance guess who for forever to get this shit done. I'm just going to be a fucking protester until I have 200 XP, and then I'm going to be a wizard.
Yeah.
Oh, but John, don't worry about any of this. It may sound boring and dumb, but the rat catcher career does start with the trapping of a small but vicious dog.
Indeed. The one thing that you'll hear about the rat catcher, which is, out of the 63 classes in here, one of the few that has managed to maintain and be in the game until, like, the latest editions. Because everyone was like, heh, I get a little angry dog. That's great. And
I get a small but vicious dog. People really love that phrasing.
Yeah, that's just a thing that still exists. Whereas, you know, Road Warden, less so. Rat Catcher, though, that gets to stay in.
People love that fucking rat catcher, and you know, I can kind of see it, because it's the kind of dismal bullshit that's fun in a medieval setting, especially if the goal is not to stay a rat catcher, but, you know, to go into a dungeon and fight an orc or whatever. Yeah, so, man, this is a boring game.
It's very sad that there's, for me, I fucking love random tables and rolling on random shit. But the fact that this has you roll, like, random skills and a random class to start, the idea of that I love, but then there's nothing to differentiate stuff enough, and the fact that you can just leave it immediately, I'm like, oh, none of this matters. You had a million billion different random crap I could roll into, and it didn't matter. None of it mattered.
I mean, I get why they did it. This is one of those games where people are going to tell you that it's better than X or Y game because it's good to read on the toilet. And you know, I understand, but fucking buy a copy of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader and call it a day. You know, they've got trivia in the margins. It's great. Buy one of those. You don't need to spend $60 on an old-ass book so you could be like, the dwarf can choose to be an engineer or a sapper. That's the weirdest thing to me is that of all these boring-ass classes, as you're making your way through, you're like, What if I actually want to fight? What am I going to be? I don't know, a highwayman or an outrider or a mule skinner or a protagonist. It's rare that you see a class that's like, you know, I'm a guy who would go in a dungeon and fight a skeleton for a ring.
Yeah, that's not really a thing you get.
Yeah, they're in there. They're just weirdly rare and usually advanced.
And the weird thing for me with the advanced careers going into those is, some of them are very clearly things where you're like, oh, cool, this is a thing I might want to be. You know, I could be an assassin or a cleric or a druid or a gunner or whatever. But then you also have stuff like slaver and torturer and lawyer. And you're like, wait a minute. Hold on. I just went through my base class. I'm an adventurer. I've been adventuring for a while. And sure, I used to be a demagogue or whatever. But now I'm a lawyer? What?
Explorer is another one of the options, which has got to be super annoying in the Warhammer Fantasy milieu, because fucking everybody who likes Warhammer already knows fucking everything about every single country. So when you're like, oh, I'll go discover something. Oh, Lustria represents South America. Hey. Like, yeah, I get it. Thank you. There's a million books of lore about this book. We know.
I just don't like that they have in the advanced classes. Like, it's one thing if you want to make, like, Beggar your beginner class and then you become a real person. That's fine. But having something harsh. Like lawyer or, you know, torturer as a thing you aspire to?
It's funny because I almost get why torture is in there. It's just because one of the starting careers is jailer. So you're like, hey, I got a promotion. Now I burn feet. I don't care very much for the fact that Slaver is one of the advanced classes you can make your way into in this game. And it even goes out of its way to be like, oh, by the way, in fucking the old world, slaves are treated very well. People are nice to their slaves. God.
The entire thing for the slaver where it's like, oh, but don't worry. Slavery is just a thing that happens. And most of them are, they love it. They love being slaves. Don't worry about it. I'm like, oof, ouch, owie, no.
They're making it sound like slave is the one good thing you could be in this setting since everybody else is a murderer or an idiot.
Yeah, well, slaves in the old world are well treated and they work alongside paid servants. They have the same conditions. You're like, no. No.
Well, there's only a 70% chance that if a slave goes across a river on a boat that he gets Natalie Wooded in the middle of the fucking river, because everyone loves their slaves. Anyway, the point I was trying to make about dwarves is that the three or four dwarf-only careers are just shit from the tabletop game. And it's like, oh look, that's the good idea, right there, they're doing it. Dwarf can be a troll slayer. It's the thing where they don't have clothes on and they have a big dumb beard and two axes. Yay! They did the tabletop unit that you can purchase.
Yeah.
Same thing with engineer. Wow, dwarves have options that look like the stuff from the other game. The ship that's the reason you bought this.
And it's very out of the 30 some odd advanced careers. There's like 10 that look like stuff you would have put on the table for the game, and the rest of it is just like, I am now no longer an artisan's apprentice. I am an artisan.
I shall have apprentices, and I shall teach them nothing. I love that. It's, you know, it's just standard grimdark GW shit to do all this Dark Ages bullshit, but it's amusing to me to try and picture a world like this, the Empire old world that they're trying to sell here, where they're like, no alchemist has ever taught an apprentice anything, and that's why there's no more alchemists. Like, no, the apprentice system needed to work for them to do it for, you know, the hundreds of years that it existed. You can't just be like, ah, if you're an artisan's apprentice, you will sure learn how to sweep floors and nothing else until you give up become a pirate.
They basically are like, oh, if you're an apprentice to someone, you're like the unpaid intern who's actually just getting people coffee and not learning anything. On the job training? No, sir.
No, never. Why would you even assume that? Ugh, this game made me mad. Combat, we already kind of described the basics of it. You don't even roll for initiative. The person with the highest initiative goes first, just like the tabletop game. You can move and attack in a turn, but to do so, you would have to charge. How far can you charge? A hilarious your move speed in yards. So a human, for example, when charging, can charge 3 yards.
Yeah, 3 to 5, depending on what they rolled to start.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Unimpressive.
Not very impressive, no.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just, you have your weapon skill, great, roll under that, and like I said, compare your strength and their toughness and your damage, and if they've got armor, that might take a couple points off of it. That's about it. It's very easy.
Yep, it's a very simple system. The armor doesn't even have all that much granularity to it. I love that leather armor can either offer one point of damage reduction or none. You can wear leather armor that does nothing if you would like to do so.
Well, I mean, it is... the 0/1 leather is... It will only block stuff if it's low damage to start with. So if it does 3 or less damage, then it will block 1 because you're like, oh, it didn't hit hard enough. that it just cuts through the leather. But if you do 4 or more damage, the leather armor doesn't do anything because you got hit hard enough that it didn't matter you were wearing, like, a leather jerkin.
Yeah. There's just not a whole lot of granularity to the choices of weapon or armor that make it. Well, luck, and this is honestly kind of lucky because, let's face it, all these shit careers don't really start with any anyway. Even if you're like, what are you? Well, I'm a tried and true warrior. I'm a warrior man, and I have a sword, and I go in dungeons. What do you start with? A helmet and a shitty sword.
Great.
Do you have any armor? I have clothes.
Now,
there's a magic one system. Of the, go ahead.
I was going to say, before that, one of the only actual, like, super in-depth things in this is the critical hit chart, because...
Mm-hmm. Oh, this, of course it is.
Well, this game, when you run out of wounds, you aren't dead. Like, if I have 6 wounds and I take 6 wounds, then I'm just at 0 and I'm still doing whatever I was doing. But if I take any damage past 0, there's a chart to look at for how much damage did you take in that hit, and you roll a D100 to see how bad is the crit you just took.
Yes.
And you roll randomly to see where you're hit every time you hit someone, and then mm-hmm. each like area has its own crit effect table from 1 to 16, with 1 being like, oh, nothing really happened. Maybe, like, if they hit you in your arm, you dropped something in that hand. To mm-hmm. 16, where it's just, that part of your body explodes in a shower of blood and bone, and you die.
Yeah. If there's one thing they wanted to be granular on, it's gross critical hits, which I think we may have mentioned this, oh, I don't know, maybe in 50 of our 170-some episodes we've made so far. If you make super complicated, super gory critical hit tables, it will eventually and inevitably trend towards damaging the party.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when you're dealing with characters that are almost certainly going to have, like, at the top end, maybe 8 wounds, 9 wounds, if you're, like, a dwarf with a career that gives you some wound possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, if you're fighting something like, oh, I did a solid hit on you, you took, like, 6. At that point, you're like, man, if someone hits me, I'm going to be taking criticals, and there's just a chance I'll random roll into my head explode.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake. I mean, I keep looking at reviews of this game online, and everyone's like, oh, well, this was a really good game, way ahead of its time. And I'm like, it's 1989. Second edition was out.
I mean, again, I think the idea of, you know, you start as sort of a starter non-adventurer career, and then you would take that and become, like, a hero from that, the sort of, like, we want to make it a hero's journey as a thing, where, like, yeah, you start out, you're a shit farmer, and then you go into a class that isn't that, because now you're a hero. The idea right. is sound, the execution is bad.
I would also say that thematically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a game that's based on the Warhammer universe, where you build armies, and yeah, sure, some of the armies can take, like, 3-point conscripts that are farm boys or whatever, but no one ever wants to focus their entire game on those guys.
No. It's it's weird, and I get it, but it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, this would be like if you were playing a 40K game and you were... I know there is a 40K game where you play explicitly as the guard, but you'd have to play as, like, the worst guard. Like, the people who aren't even good enough to be guardsmen.
Oh, yeah. You'd just be like, what is this? Oh, we're the, like, local militia of a planet when they don't have the Imperial Guard there.
I spend all my day polishing floating angel skulls. Do you get in combat? Oh, goodness, no.
I sure hope not.
I do like to adventure into dungeons from time to time, but no, I'm a second class angel skull polisher. Hi there. I rolled guy who doesn't know how computers work. That's my job. I sit in a room and don't know how computers work. It's the future.
Let's see.
Magic system.
The magic Boring. System. You can be one of several different types. And mm-hmm. depending on what you are, you have different magic points gained per level.
Yep.
If you are a dwarf or a halfling, you have half as many if you are trying to be a wizard.
Yep. There's things like druid, cleric, diabolist, and I think it's necromancer, both of which are basically just wizards with less spells and more chances to go insane.
Well, druid and cleric are the, you can be this and get your full complement of magic points as a dwarf or a halfling, because mm-hmm. they're just bad at wizard.
Yes.
But the wizard subtypes where they're like, oh, if you're a necromancer or a diabolist or a chaos wizard, then you just, at the beginning, you get to roll on a table full of how fucked up you are. So you'd be like, oh, I got a cadaverous appearance because I'm a necromancer, so I automatically have that. And then I'm a chaotic wizard. I rolled a 56. Now I have palsy. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a great choice. I would not necessarily recommend a chaotic wizard or chaos wizard
no.
as your class option.
It's bad.
The spells are all very similar to spells you would see in the tabletop game. None of them are especially interesting.
Yeah, you have a grouping of them. There are what's known as petty magic, which anyone can cast, and they're just sort of the, you have access to all of these. And while it seems like they should just be cantrips, there are some that are like, oh, one of the petty magic spells that costs one magic point to do is curse, and it just stays there until someone can cast or remove curse spell. So you can be like, that guy, he has boils now, fuck him forever.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of, I mean, ultimately you're going to do that, and they're going to be like, oh, thanks, mister, I had boils anyway. Now I've got better boils.
I got boils on me boils, eh, what?
Fancy a boat across the river.
It's going to
be you, the fox, the goose, and a bag of corn and a small yet vicious dog. What do you say?
They also have as one of their like regular spells that you can do, sleep, which is just 2 points that if you touch a person, they go to sleep. Like they are comatose for D6 game turns, which is really powerful for a low-level spell that anyone has.
Yeah, intensely powerful. But, you know, don't worry about it, because it's going to take fucking forever before anyone gets to the point where they can cast a spell.
And then, depending on what you are, you can have, like, oh, I've got battle magic, or I've got, you know, demonology, and I summon demons, or I'm an elementalist, and I shoot fire, or whatever. And they're all just, you know, 4 levels of spells, because you can be level 1 to 4 in any casting thing. They cost a certain number of magic points, and they do stuff. Sometimes you can resist them with your willpower, sometimes you can't.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I guess to wrap it up, there's, I don't know, a couple pages of magic items which aren't very interesting. They're mostly like ropes and stuff. They make a point to of saying that magic items are fairly rare in this universe. And then also a bestiary, and there's an adventure back at the end, but I'm not going to worry about it. There is a bestiary that I actually don't mind. It's got quite a few, it's like almost 100 monsters in it. It's, they thought that out.
Hell yeah. You can go in there and be like, oh, sweet. I know what a giant owl's stats are. Cool.
I want to cite that as good, because a lot of the fly-by-night games that we tend to review don't even have that shit, so the only possible antagonists are the DM makes some more characters.
Oh, yeah, or they just go, oh, here's an idea. You can have bad highwaymen. Just take the highwaymen template and do this. And you're like, please don't make me have them fight people that are just other PCs that I made.
That makes the balance very wonky for them to be doing more than one combat in their lives. I wanted to single that out as a positive, that this book does have a bestiary, including some really cool monsters like Famir that aren't in the base game, so that's kind of neat. The adventure that's included is aggressively pointless medieval bullshit. It starts with the party being robbed.
Because, you know, of course it does.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately it leads to them having to, like, chase thieves across a rooftop or something. But it's one of those things where the adventure starts by, like, you've just been pickpocketed. All that gear that you meticulously wrote down. Unwrite it down.
You know how you started this game and you were like, let's go be adventurers. Well, the adventure is you got clowned on by some other idiots. Go get them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's that much else to talk about. I think that's more or less the game. I mean, oh, there is something else. I wanted to mention a thing that I found kind of pleasure about reading this. The section on religion and the setting mentions a number of gods I'd never heard of, but also singles out, what's his name, Karl Franz, the Emperor of the Empire, as being sort of a weak, kind of shitty person who's been placed in his role by a secret cabal of counselors who like a crappy person being in charge of the empire because it makes it easier for them to protect their own individual little fiefdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, this book is old enough that it's before everybody with a name had to be some 400-point monster. Because I guarantee you, by the second edition of even this book, Karl Franz was going to be like, I'm the golden god of combat and unusually large Britannia-style mustaches. I always ride on a griffin, and I have a magic sword with a long name.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat to see, like, I'm a shit dude, too.
I also suck. Welcome to it, buddy. It was interesting to me.
It's peasants all the way up.
It was interesting to me that they have the whole thing on the chaos gods in here, but only two of the ones you would know.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that section. But
yeah.
Which two make it in?
Khorne and Nurgle are in here, but then they also have Malal, which is a renegade chaos god who turned against the others and wants to destroy them.
Huh. I ain't never heard of that. And you're telling me there's no Tzeentch and there's no the other one? The sex one, I think?
Yeah, the sex haver.
Yeah, because that's what they are. There's Stinky McPlaguey Face, there's Warliker, there's Confusing Smarts Dude, and then there's the sex wanter.
Yeah.
God, what? It's killing me. It's killing a lot of other people way more.
Oh yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
There's so many people right now that are just yelling at the podcast like, you sons of bitches, how do you not know?
Before you send me tweets, I do know. I'm just not going to tell you.
In fact, I've looked it up and I'm not going to say it.
We're going to let that one lie.
The other interesting thing is this, I've only ever seen the chaos gods as a thing. This one actually has the gods of law in it, which I've never seen in anything before.
What a rarity indeed. I mean, it makes sense because this actually has like clerics and templars and shit in it.
Yeah.
The other thing worthy of note that it has in it, which has very smartly been excised from the Warhammer Fantasy milieu entirely, is like just Arabia.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the opening fictional story in this book is like, and then he killed an Arab man. And I'm like, wait, what, really? Are you sure? Are you sure he just killed an Arab? Are you? Yes, he came from far Araby, a made-up country.
Yeah, the fact that they have a country that's Araby, I'm like, guys, try. Just a little bit.
Also, far Cathay, it's just Japan.
Ugh.
I mean, this book's old enough that there was still a whole army of pygmies that you could buy mail order in Warhammer.
True.
So this is not an era where a good look would be a thing you'd be looking for.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. That's pretty much the game. It is what it is. It's not. I mean, I keep finding glowing reviews of it, but I'm not sure why.
Yeah, like I said. It's so interesting when you only know the surface level of it, and then you see the execution, and you're like, oh man, you dropped the ball on this one.
This looks like a boring place. All right, John, why don't we get to it? What would you say to me is your favorite thing about this game? And keep in mind that you will also be saying it to the audience.
Oh no, not the audience. Now I've got stage fright.
I know. Just imagine the audience naked.
Oh, I always do.
Okay, good. Then you should be fine.
So, I think probably my favorite thing in this is the idea of, like I was saying, the random starting character. Where you just kind of, like, have a class and some skills that you start with. The idea of being like, oh yeah, this is what you were before you decided, you know, I'm going to go out into the world and be an adventurer. Like, what were you doing before that fateful day where you found Grandpa's sword in the attic and decided to go wander the world and right wrongs? Like, what were you doing in your day to day? And I really enjoy the idea of having this sort of randomized, like, background and whatnot, so that you can be like, okay, you can just sort of get that part out of the way quickly and randomly, and then get to whatever you want to do, except, you know, you don't get rid of it quickly because you have to do a whole bunch of dumb shit in it.
And also because the only things to go to are more of that shit.
Yeah, that is the main issue. I love the idea of the beginning of this book. There you go.
Yeah, that's fair. I already said my favorite thing. I like that this is from an era before the storyline of the Warhammer or GW like house brand had ossified into the point where like every leader has to wear or ride around on a 30-foot-high 6-pound plastic beetle, so that you know that they're the big deal king shit in charge of things. I like the idea that the Empire, which I've always loved that it's just called that and doesn't have a real name, is ruled by just a moron, like a cowardly moron who's there because he's a cowardly moron.
Yeah. That's great.
I like that shit. I mean, as long as we're going to be doing this gritty Dark Ages bullshit, I like that they stuck to their guns and wrote it all the way to the top.
All right.
Let's do least favorites.
All right. Least favorite for me in this, I have to say, the skill system, while there are some things that are sort of okay about it, like just having things that would be feats in another game just be part of your skill selection is fine. But the fact that they are all just modifiers to, like, you look at one chart for your skills and then have to look at a different chart for the things you're actually rolling on, it ends up being too fiddly, too complex. You don't need 100-something skills like this. You could condense so much of that, and it just... I hate the idea of, like, I got this skill. What does that do? Nothing. Go look at this chart to see what it does.
Yeah, there's so many of them, and they are so boring, and it could have taken so much condensing, but they were very dedicated to their belief that was like, oh no, we have to represent the entire fake medieval experience.
Yeah, we can't just say, oh, you were a beggar, so you know, you would have spent some time busking. Oh no. Goodness, no, there's got to be 12 different things that then affect the busk roll, which is not itself a skill.
Yeah. And I'm going to say my least favorite thing is, I'm going to say that there's a species that's just the worst, and I never like seeing that. Like,
it's humans.
Sometimes humans are also just the worst, just in general. That's the same as on Earth.
Yeah.
But no, I mean the halfling. It's like, if you want to play as a halfling, it shouldn't be like a labor of love to do so. There should be a reason that they're a contributing species in this society.
Yeah. Why would you ever pick one of these when you know I'm going at this with a handicap? Like, straight up, I am just worse than anything else I could have been. And there's nothing that I get out of it outside of the capability of saying I am a halfling. Like, I would rather just be like, yo, I pick dwarf and then I tell everyone I'm a halfling. I shaved my beard and I glued the hair to my feet. Fuck it. I don't care.
All right. Would you play this game?
I definitely would want to play later editions of this and check it out, but this edition, I could not. It's got too much earn your fun to it.
That's very true.
What
it
about
really does
you?
Kinda, I feel very much the same. I honestly don't like these random shit farm scenarios. I've been on record before saying that one of my least favorite innovations in Dungeons & Dragons type dungeon crawling is the level zero funnel. I hate it. I want to play as a fucking hero. I don't want to slowly see if one of 16 guys might be kind of a hero. So, and I like building things. I don't like randomly assembling them from shitty parts.
Yeah, I just made a garbage Gundam.
yeah, I just don't want... So, no, I wouldn't play this. But just like you, there are later editions that I could potentially consider when they were like, hey, this is a game about, you know, playing as the cool elements of the fantasy universe. Like, oh, I'm that irritating witch hunter with a candle on his head.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like the ideas. This one is a no-go. Bad edition. Bad edition, yep. Is bad.
There you go. All right. Well, that's pretty much a review of first edition Warhammer Fantasy Roleplaying. Thanks for sticking around and hearing all of it. You're the best. Hey, as long as you're sticking around, why not support our Patreon? I'm going to toss it over to John to tell you about it because my head's about to explode.
If you want to join all of us in the winner's circle, you can go over to patreon.com/systemmastery. If you support us at the lowly $1 level, you'll unlock the bonus content for this show where we're going to make characters in this. So we're going to go make a couple random ass dirt farmers and tell you all about the absolute garbage nonsense that they get up to. And you can find that at the low $1 per system mastery episode price. And of course, while you're there, if you want, we have so much more content at all of the varying levels, all the way up to the $5 level, where you get 9 shows a month and we spend too much time making things.
We really do work very hard on doing what we do. Oh, man, John, I'm sorry. I've been quitting caffeine the past 2 weeks and, oh, boy.
Oh, that's a shame. I've had 3 Coke Zeros in the last half hour.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I had half of a Diet Coke at 9 in the morning, and then I had no more.
Aw, look at you.
It's for my blood pressure. I'm trying to do whatever I can to get the blood pressure down, even though it's really, really fucking low. But that's because I take like 11 pills a day.
Yeah,
and then I have a sensible dinner.
Really? I have a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and then an entire pizza for dinner. Also, when I say shake, I mean a milkshake.
I have 2 milkshakes a day.
2 milkshakes and a pizza. That's my entire diet.
Yeah, I am throbbing right now. It's rough, but it's cool. I'm going to quit caffeine and I'm going to see my kid go to college. That's the goal. Squad goals.
All right. Thank you again so much for joining us. Check us out on patreon.com/systemmastery if you like us. And if you don't like us, fuck you. What are you doing here? How did you get this far?
If you don't like us, then now you like us.
That's right. We're magic. If you manage to listen more than an hour of our show, you like us now. It's official.
Legally.
Sorry.
It's legally binding.
Sorry. You're part of the discourse now.
All right, thanks so much. You all have a wonderful week.